Another edition of In You All Along. My name is Pete. I'll be with you until 7 a.m. today. I'll be bringing you some music and some interviews, and it'll be a good time. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this chilly morning on your way to work, your way to getting awake, or whatever it is that you're doing today. You're listening to WMFO 91.5, Tufts University Freeform Radio in Medford.
Run away. I run away. city. The sunburst Les Paul that you let me strum. Your rock and roll used to pull you through. Wish I could go back there and talk to you.
Try to think.
Okay, everybody. Once again, you are listening to In You All Along, Fridays 6 to 7 on WMFO, Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio. You just heard From America with Sister Golden Hair. Before that, we had Andy Santospago's Living in Clover, a brand new track from his project AM Gold. Andy is, I'm going to come right out and say it, one of my favorite local musicians. You can find him playing in just about everybody's band. One of the finest guitarists in the area. And a really talented arranger and songwriter, as you can tell on that track, where he channels 45 years ago as if it were today. If you guys have ever, if you ever have a moment, the last Tuesday of every month, the early show at Toad in Porter Square, Andy plays in the fantastic country rock band Miriam. They're one of my favorites. They're always good time. Something like 7:38. Prior to Andy, we had the Willard Grant Conspiracy with Angie Says off the Place to Call Home compilation from 1998 that was a benefit for the Mass Adoption Resource Exchange. Robert Fisher of the Willard Grant Conspiracy passed away this week. I didn't know Robert personally, but I had friends that would play with him with the Willard Grant Conspiracy back when I first lived in the Boston area in the late 90s. And I just remember them talking about and treating him with a lot of reverence and respect. And I've seen a lot of posts this week of people really mourning his loss. So that's one of my favorites off of that album, off of that compilation. And we started out with Del Shannon's Runaway, a special request from overseas, actually. And right now we're listening to MFSB and Love is the Message. I figured I had to drop a little something for Valentine's Day in this week's show. So we've got Love is the Message in it. Isn't it really the message? If it isn't, what message could possibly be worth it? So as I've been doing the past few weeks, I have been going out and talking to folks about what's going on in the world, what's going on in our country. There's been a lot of people out in the streets, a lot of people with a lot on their mind, a lot of people with a lot under their skin. Yesterday was designated the National Day Without Immigrants. This was a coordinated event to try to make visible the impact that immigrants have on our society and economy by many of them sort of taking a step out of their regular roles. Some local restaurants were closed yesterday, the ones that I tried to check out, where I was trying to interview people, perhaps that showed up surprised by this. Anna's Taqueria, mainly burgers in Central Square, and Veggie Galaxy was also closed. There weren't really anybody there, but I did run into some folks in the Central Square area and got a few thoughts on the National Day Without Immigrants and on our immigration crisis situation, however you would like to call it. Our national argument, I think I said a couple of times. That said, let's get into it. Here's the first round of those conversations with people about the National Day Without Immigrants. What is your name and where are you from?
My name is Alyssa and I am from Washington State.
And did you know that today was the National Day Without Immigrants?
Yeah, I did.
And what do you know about that day?
Not as much as I would have liked. I was a little disappointed that I didn't know until today, or rather even late last night, that it was happening. But I like that it brings to the forefront this idea of showing how much immigrants really do contribute to this country. And if all immigrants did disappear for a day, a lot of things wouldn't happen.
And what's the role of immigration in your life?
It's a little funny. Technically, both my mother and I are first-generation immigrants. My mom's family comes from Canada, and I was adopted. So I was brought here as well.
Where were you born?
I was actually born in Pakistan, but I was adopted technically before I was born. I came here at a very, very young age and spent my entire life here, really.
So beyond your immediate personal story, this day is, I guess, supposed to be about making sure that we realize the impact of immigrants in our everyday life, what would happen without them there. Beyond your own immediate story, what do you think the impact is on your life of immigrants around you?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, everything from, you know, our agricultural structure to our grocery stores to our food sources to everything. I mean, these things would not happen and would not function without immigrants. And I think people quickly forget we were all immigrants once. I think the impact that immigrants have is huge in this country, just in terms of every level of jobs and influence.
What do you think will be the impact if there are massive deportations of illegal immigrants, or a halt to immigration into the country, or severe restrictions?
It's going to be crazy. We're going to be paying $6 for an apple. Prices of everything are going to go up drastically. Fast food, food in grocery stores, access to food. I was actually reading an article, and I can't remember where it was, that was talking about crops are just rotting in fields now because they're not being picked fast enough. Because
it was in The Guardian.
Yeah. And so things like that. That's so great. Now we're going to have food waste, and we're going to have less food, and the food we do have is more expensive. And that's just only one small piece of it.
It's often said that American jobs are being taken away by immigrants. If those immigrants leave those jobs in agriculture or in the restaurant field, other labor-intensive jobs that are very immigrant-dominated, do you think that American workers will step in and take those jobs?
No, because I don't think it's possible to steal a job. Employers are choosing who they hire and who they pay. And largely the reason they're choosing to pay either undocumented or green card workers is because they know they're easier to exploit. And so if you have people that are going to come in and demand benefits and demand minimum wage, and they're not going to be able to get away with that, I think we're going to have a lot of drastic repercussions. And it's not, you know, an immigrant loses a job and an American gains one. Absolutely not.
I'm going to ask you to wave your magic wand and solve this national problem. How would you get the message across to Americans that are very anti-immigration that this is a major underpinning of our society and lifestyle?
Oh, that is a great question. I think the thing that I spend the most time trying to explain is people benefit from immigrants. There's so many things that were invented by people who moved here that we benefit from. And so I think, yeah, it's such a tough question. I wish I had the answers. I wish there was an easy way to solve it. But I think reminding people that we gain so much, not just like as people and as a culture, but in terms of discoveries and work that people do and things that happen, we all get a lot out of it.
Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
What is your name and where are you from?
I'm Kiki Densamo, and I'm from Ethiopia originally, but currently I'm in the United States, and it's been 16 years.
Did you know that today is the National Day Without Immigrants?
No, actually I didn't. And that's kind of quite surprising I didn't know about it.
So my understanding is that the intent is that immigrants, whenever possible, take the day without being at their jobs, obviously very difficult, and showing the impact to the country of their labor force. You'll notice a lot of restaurants that are closed today, for example, one industry that's very dependent on immigrant labor. So you are an immigrant, and so tell me, what has your experience been like in terms of feeling welcome as an immigrant in the United States?
I definitely believe that America is the most welcoming country. I've always felt that way. But this year, things have just been changing lately, and we're all feeling, you know, a little bit uncomfortable by the way things are going and the ban and all that stuff, and people are just not feeling welcome, and that's just really sad because that wasn't the case with the history of America.
Are you fearful at all for yourself as an immigrant?
I trust that America will look after its own people, and I believe in the people will come together whenever things happen, and I feel pretty good about just being here and feeling safe, but there's that like uneasy feeling, like what's gonna happen next. Things feel a little bit unpredictable.
Right. Do you feel like Americans today really understand the role that immigrants play in their society?
I don't think everybody knows. Just being an immigrant myself, like, I feel like we work really hard, maybe even twice as hard, because we believe that, you know, we have a better opportunity we are given, and so we take this second chance to life of just doing better out of ourselves, and not everybody understands that aspect, and I believe that people who come from different countries, you know, they sometimes, you know, start over with their life, and some continue on, and some get more education, and there's people from different backgrounds doing different roles and jobs, and you know, I've seen that movie, you know, A Day Without Immigrant, you know, a while ago, and I feel like it kind of feels like I'm in a movie a little bit, and it's just unsettling, really.
So we have a country right now where there are massive restrictions being proposed on immigration, and that seems to come from people who are afraid that immigrants are going to have, or do have, a terrible effect, whether on their safety or on their economy. Do you think there's something that you can say to reach out there to these people to say, look, I'm okay?
I definitely, personally, I'm a Christian, and I don't know if you've seen the article that came out on Washington Post about all evangelical churches from all different states saying that they really would like the president to really reconsider the decisions, and that they really believe about welcoming the refugees who are fleeing from a scary situation and terror, and anybody would want to like flee from there, and the human thing to do is to shelter somebody from being in that situation of, you know, risking their lives or anything like that, and I believe that that's the right thing to do, to take people and shelter them and protect them, and then second comes everything else. Life comes before everything else.
Do you have hope that we'll get over this this big national argument that we're having right now?
There is hope for the future. There is God. And then there's the people who need to come together. There's educating people, and there's the people of coming and encouraging each other to like support what is the right decision and influence our government and influence people too by telling each other like what is the right thing and to convince them so we can come together and make change in the world, make change in policies, make change in doing the right thing for our country.
I'm Laverne. I'm originally from Jamaica.
Did you know that today was a National Day Without Immigrants?
Yes.
And do you know what that day is?
Well, it's a day for people who are immigrants who are not, you know, recognized to stand up for what they believe in. You know, so they take this day especially to not to go to work, who not to go to school, not to participate, to let, you know, the nation know that immigrants are important in this country and we are here for a purpose.
Did you take part in this day?
No, actually I was at school. I had an exam today, so I couldn't skip it. So I had to go out.
You're an immigrant. And what has your experience been in terms of being welcomed into the United States?
To be honest with you, I'm not here that long. I mean, like 11 years now.
That's pretty long.
Yeah, but I actually haven't had any bad experience as such, but I have people who are, you know, caught up in the situation, and my heart goes out, you know, for these people who come here, and it's not because they are bad people. I mean, you know, the world is mixed with different type of people. You have the good, the bad, and the indifference, but the majority are good people who are trying to seek a better life for their families and just, you know, come to a place of opportunity and just want to get that chance to enhance themselves, you know. But because, you know, all this chaos and is going on right now, people are fearful, you know, and they, a lot of people, like me, I'm a believer, so I believe with God all things are possible. But a lot of people don't have that kind of faith like I have, and so they are fearful. It brings fear, you know. But God said he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So I know that God is going to work it out for us.
What would you say to longtime Americans who are fearful of the effect of immigration on their country?
I would say, again, it's all about my faith, and I just want to encourage those people to believe that God loves us, and he said he will never leave us or forsake us. So God, he brought us this far. He brought me into America for 11 years. He brought my pastor for so many years, 40-odd years. You think God is going to leave us by the wayside? No. He's not going to let the fish come and eat us up. He's going to work it out for us. He said all things good to work out together for them that love the Lord. And so we are I'm encouraging those out there who are fearful not to be fearful. Just believe God, trust God. It's hard to say to someone who might not know about God or believe, but there's a God who exists, and he will take care. It's only a matter of time. Time is the essence.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to say about the immigration issue today in the United States?
Let's just unite. Let's unite. Let's pray for each other. Don't back out, because we are in this thing together.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, and I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Very good.
Thank you. Okay, those were some interviews from Cambridge yesterday for the National Day Without Immigrants. Once again, you're listening to In You All Along on 91.5 WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. My name is Pete. I'll be with you till 7. The time here in the Medford time zone of the Eastern United States is 6:35. As good a time as any, I say, for a public service announcement. Know your cell phone rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can be readily searched by anybody holding it. And a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a key code password and setting your phone screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to, and if you do that, you've forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you." It does say thank you right there. Finally, remember that the police can also ask a judge for a search warrant, so think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org. A public service message from the Electronic Freedom Foundation and your freedom-loving friends here at WMFO, Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Freedom is what we're all about here. Free form, freedom. That particular variety and all kinds of freedom. I'm going to free you now of my voice and go into another round of interviews from yesterday from the National Day Without Immigrants. Tell me your name. And where are you from?
I'm Brian Gale, and I live in Cambridge, North Cambridge, up near Davis Square.
So there has been a coordinated protest where many immigrant-dependent businesses have either closed or donated some portion of their profits or allowed their workforce to go out on protest, to take the day out on protest. So you'll notice a lot of restaurants and things right now are closed that would normally be open. So I'm just trying to get a sense from people about trying to use this occasion to talk to people about immigration, big issue in our society right now, maybe the biggest at the moment. What do you feel the impact of immigration is on your life right now?
I've had a lot of immigrant lovers. I'm a huge fan of men from other countries. They're nice, they're fun, they're available. When I look at my own life, it's been enriched by all these incredibly personal experiences. And the other thing is, if you can't afford to travel to these countries, you get to meet people from these countries and you literally learn more about the world. And it's just really, it's eye-opening. I mean, it really broadens your mind.
Yeah. How do you think that this has affected the kind of person that you are today?
I think I'm more broad-minded. I think I'm more empathic because it's sort of like I see how I've been personally enriched by direct experience. So it's not just theoretical. It's like I've had lovers, I've had friends, I've had ongoing relationships with these people. And it's like if I hear rhetoric, I have to compare that to like what's been my personal experience. And I see the rhetoric doesn't always add up to much. It just seems empty, a lot of it.
Do you think that there are people in this country that don't have that experience, you think their viewpoint is necessarily different as a result?
Yeah, I do.
I mean, do you I mean, here in Boston, this is a very cosmopolitan city, particularly because we have such a huge, you know, research and educational component to our sphere here. There's a lot of international people. Do you think that the people, that there's a way to communicate the experience that people here have, like yourself, like myself, that have been exposed to people from all over the world frequently? Is there a way to take that message and that kind of experience and get people who don't have that to understand?
I would encourage them to question their viewpoints. I would just say, you know, it's kind of like having an opinion about something you haven't experienced. Like, it's really hard. I mean, it takes some humility to say, maybe I don't have an informed opinion, and maybe I should withhold having an opinion about something I don't really know that much about, and maybe just say, go get your hands dirty a little bit. Like, why don't you, like, look at your life and say, do I even know a Mexican? Do I have any friends who are Mexican? Have I had a lover who's a Mexican? I have all these opinions about Mexicans, but does any of it relate to my own experience? And if the answer to that is no, it's like, well, go meet some Mexicans.
What do you say to people who have fear of immigrants?
What's it based on? Like, why? I think that's a legitimate question. Why do you have it? Have you ever been raped or stabbed or held hostage by an immigrant? If not, then what are you so afraid of? I mean, really.
Okay, what's your name and where are you from?
I'm Truett Killian from Fort Worth, Texas.
And are you aware that today is the National Day Without Immigrants?
I hadn't heard that, no.
So you are, though, however, familiar that immigration is a big issue in our national dialogue today.
I've been noticing that, yes.
What would you say that the role of immigration in your life is?
Well, I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, like I said, and everyone that works with my father, with the exception of my mother, is an immigrant. So immigrants from Mexico and all over have really shaped my life and being the people I'm around, the people I know, working the jobs that I see every day. So I'd say they've been an integral part of my life, and I see them everywhere.
What kind of business is that?
It's a small real estate firm.
Do you notice that there are any businesses that you rely on that are not affected by immigration?
You know, I think I've heard it said over and over again, and I think it can't be oversaid that we all come from somewhere. And so every industry that we have are, if not made of immediate immigrants, are people who are at least first, second, third, or even seventh generation immigrants. Everyone's got to come from somewhere. And so I would say I couldn't think of an industry that isn't driven by immigrants.
Are you afraid in any way of the impacts of immigration today in the United States?
Well, one of the things I think that gets misrepresented in this debate is that I think that there are people out there who are just xenophobic and racist, and that they fear the oncoming people who don't look like them and come from different cultures. And so I feel like some people are afraid of different cultures and the impact that can have on them. But then I think there's other camps of people that fear more so what an immigrant or an illegal immigrant per se will take from the system without giving back to it. And while I do think that that's a fear that's logical to have, I think it gets overstated in a way that our society isn't just going to collapse if we have illegal immigrants or an excess of immigrants we weren't expecting. I think that if our system was set up in a way to where a little bit of excess immigration would make it collapse, we should redesign it. So in my eyes, I've never feared immigration, and that I think that everyone's a person, and I think you can get a bad egg here just as easily you can get a bad egg anywhere. So personally, no, I have no fear of immigration, and if it were up to me, I'd have an open immigration policy as it was in the 1800s.
Some people say that if illegal immigrant labor in particular went away, our cost of living would go up dramatically because Americans would cost much more to do a lot of the work that our lifestyles depend on. Do you know, do you think that Americans are willing to do the jobs that immigrants largely dominate now?
Well, if you don't mind, can I rework your question a little bit?
Certainly.
One of the things from an economic stance that I've seen is people say, we have these immigrants, they're taking our jobs illegally. And I think that that's a misnomer and a misled idea, in that the jobs that immigrants are taking are, if they're an illegal immigrant, the hirer at that point is taking risk by employing them. And so if you say $7.25 is the federal minimum wage, I think it's $11.25 or $10.25 in Massachusetts. So if I say, you, Pete, you're here legally, I have to pay you $10.25 an hour, and that's the lowest I can pay you. But if I have someone come here illegally, I say, look, if I get caught employing you, I'm going to get fined $500 or out the wazoo, whatever it's going to cost me. So in that sense, you have to pay people necessarily lower wage to compensate yourself for risk. So I think that there's this moral hazard in that if we say this immigration's illegal and you're having laws to fight it, I think it could be counterintuitive because you're not only making those who run the companies worse off, but you're necessarily making the immigrants worse off because the wage that an employer would have to pay them for it to be profitable to employ them legally then becomes a lot lower, which makes the immigrants and the business owners worse off if they're caught legally. So I would say I think if people need a job, people will work at any rate, but I don't know that illegal immigration is going to affect it the way people view it as. Rather, I think that by some of the crackdown measures we've had are just going to make immigrants and people living here worse off. And so I think a lot of the times we have to take a step back and look at the dialogue of what's going to happen to everyone, at least in an economic stance, which I think ultimately, I know there's a lot of xenophobia and racism, as I said earlier, but I think when it comes down to it, the real passion in the immigrant issue is economic, which is the lens I think we should see it through.
Tell me what it is that you do for a living.
I'm a tough student.
And what do you study?
I'm studying film economics or something useless like that.
Well, it sounds like you've devoted a lot of thought to this issue, and I thank you very much for your time and talking about it today.
Cool. Thank you, Pete.
Thank you. What's your name and where are you from?
I'm from Jamaica originally. My name is Reverend Narisa Wizard. I passed the church in Cambridge, 190 Albert Street.
And are you aware that today is a National Day Without Immigrants?
Yeah, National Day, you know. What should I say about that? It's heartbreaking. And we're praying that God's will be done for his people because we love everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in should not perish. He give us the land to live. So we need each other. It's not where you're from, it's where we're going that makes a difference. So we all need to live and be happy for each other, regardless of where you're from.
How would you get through to people that have a fear of either immigrants or of things that they have heard that immigration will do to the United States?
I must be honest. Because of my faith in God to change this whole thing, I know God is going to do it. Because he said, knock and it shall be opened, seek and you shall find. And the more the body of Christ, the church pray, the believers pray, for we don't have to know the person by name or whatever, just pray and trust God. The same way that he opened the Red Sea, the water, separate the water that the people could go through, God is going to do it for his people because he created us also. It's just a matter of time.
What has your experience been like in terms of both practical experiences and personal, interpersonal experiences in terms of feeling welcome and having obstacles as being an immigrant?
When I first came here, which is many, many years ago, and it's kind of hard to go back, but there are some issues that you do remember. Like many that came in and did not have certain documents, I was one. And you're talking about over 40 years now. So my pain for those that are in that situation is always, God, please help them to get through, because I know what it means to come from your home for a reason. We all are here for a purpose, to help those behind, those that we love to do for, and when we're there, we were not able to do so, excuse me. But coming here to able to clean the floor, do whatever is made available to us to work, and you can help somebody. When I get over that and still doing it, and to see those that comes, they come for the same reason that I come, wanted to have a better life.
Do you think the promise still exists for an immigrant to have a better life here?
Yes. Yes. Your determination. Fight for what you want. Fight for what you want. Stand up for what you believe in.
Do you have hope that we'll get through this current national argument?
I believe so. One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight.
Very inspiring words. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
At your front door, how you gonna come with your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun when the law break in? How you gonna go shot down on the pavement or waiting on death? You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you have to answer too. Oh, the guns of Brixton. Money feels good, and your life, you like it well. But surely your time will come, as in heaven, as in hell. You see, he feels like Ivan, born under the Brixton sun. His game is called surviving. At the end of the harder they come, you know, it means no mercy. They caught him with a gun. No need for the Black Maria. Goodbye to the Brixton sun. You can crush us, you can bruise us, yeah, even shoot us. But oh, the guns of Brixton. When they kick at your front door, how you gonna can bruise us, yeah, even shoot us, but oh, the guns of Brixton, shot down on the pavement, waiting in death row. This game's called surviving, as in heaven, as in hell. You can bruise us, but you have to answer too.
Sun, keep me in your heart for a while. There's a train leaving nightly called when all is said and done. Keep me in your heart for a while. cha la 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 la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha la 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 la. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sometimes when you're doing simple things around the house, maybe you'll think of me and smile. You know I'm tied to you like the buttons on your blouse. Keep me in your heart for a while. Hold me in your thoughts. Take me to your dreams. Touch me as I fall into view. And I will be right next to you. Engine drivers headed north to Pleasant Street. Keep me in your heart for a while. These wheels keep turning, but they're running out of steam. Keep me in your heart for a while. Sha-la.
Okay, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of In You All Along. You just heard Warren Zevon with Keep Me In Your Heart from his album The Wind from 2003, an album of songs he recorded as he was sick and knew that he was dying. Really beautiful stuff all the way through. Before that, we had Nouvelle Vague with Guns of Brixton. That album, that 2004 album, was done with singers who had never heard the songs they were covering before. Really interesting concept from that French band. And, of course, before that, you heard another round of interviews from Cambridge from the Day Without Immigrants yesterday. I hope you've enjoyed getting some new perspectives. I know I really enjoyed going out and talking to folks. Thanks very much for tuning in. I'll be back next week, the same time, 6 a.m., with In You All Along. Feel free to check in on facebook.com/InYouAllAlong. Up next is Ryan D. and the Music Savage Show, so stay tuned for a whole bunch more good music and good times on WMFO 91.5 Tufts Freeform Radio in Medford.